What's up, guys? Rachel Lindsay here, and I am teaming up with your favorite Ringer podcasters to deliver the Bravo drama and news that you've been craving on Morally Corrupt. It's the show about all things Bravo, from the Housewives to Summer House and everything in between. We'll be mentioning it all every week. Check it out on Spotify and theringer.com.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Hello and welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer, and today we're checking in with our last in-person recording, a simple favor, and clean girl aesthetic. Okay, you guys, big news. We, at Tea Time, are back in person. I am staring at Kaya McMullen, Kate Howell, and Amelia Wedemeyer, and I feel so good.
Nature so has healed. It feels incredible. The vibes are just chef's kiss.
I am in disbelief. I'm so happy, which is why Tea Time is checking in with our last in-person recording, which was on March 6th, 2020. A different time back then.
Truly yeah. A different era.
We're going to go through a couple of things we discussed and like their, you know, 2022 status update. Yeah. Is that a good way to put
it? Just checking back in now that we're back.
Yeah. Kate Hallowell did God's work and actually listened to this episode and pulled out the things we discussed because we couldn't for the life of us find the outline. So, Kate, you want to take us through a couple of these things?
I would love to. First of all, the first thing that I discussed on this podcast more than 2 years ago, was Kaylee Cuoco and her assistant. Longtime listeners may remember.
Oh my Kaylee God.
Cuoco, I couldn't even remember this. Kaylee Cuoco went viral because her assistant on her day off ordered the wrong thing for her lunch. And she was like roasting her assistant on Instagram, being like, Emma, you know I don't like mushrooms. She hashtagged it like Mushroomgate 2020, which like, first of all the 2020 events, true. That was so
this
low
got lost
list.
In history.
But, you know, at the time, we just had a lot of questions as I was an assistant at the time. And I was like, this is terrible behavior, even if they are close friends. So when I was listening to this, I was like, I have to know, is this girl still her assistant? Because she obviously was kind of treated like shit. 2 years later, Emma is still Kaylee Cuoco's assistant.
Wow.
Now, to be fair, Kaylee Cuoco has had kind of a renaissance. She had the flight attendant season one, which was good. She had the flight attendant season two, which was less good. However, the most recent post on Emma's Instagram is, thanks for taking me to Iceland, with a picture of Kaylee Cuoco.
Whoa.
She has just been living it up on all of these sets for several years, going to the Golden Globes. When's all these things. So, I would not have personally have been Kaylee Cuoco's assistant still 2 years later.
Well,
but of all the times to do it, like, she is kind of in a moment.
Didn't she also get divorced in 2021 and now she's dating someone new? So, she went through this.
She did.
She went through a lot of life happened in these last 2 years. Yeah.
So, you know, 2 years later, I maybe would have wanted Emma to move on, but they seem to be close. So
great.
That's fine.
Good. Thank God for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Amelia, what else did we discuss?
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess we discussed the Lizzie McGuire reboot and how it got killed.
Damn.
And I'm still upset about it.
We're still not over it.
I'm still like, no, the people still want a reboot of this show.
Yeah, I know. Also, Hillary Duff's still out here talking about it. She's not over it either.
I know, but for good reason. Also, she is looking and doing amazing. This girl
is
always on the up and up for the last 2 years.
It's true.
She really
it's true. Now, big change to Tea Time. We did not have cringe mode yet. If you remember, cringe mode was a child of the pandemic.
Yes.
And at the moment, and 2 years ago, we were doing Tea Time Investigates. And we investigated fan base names. We went through and just talked about the worst fan base names. Our particular one was like Iggy Azalea had like the rats.
Right. She's like, for my rats.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, the only thing I wanted to mention here was, first of all, should we ever bring back Tea Time Investigates, or has cringe mode just market corrected that?
I feel like Amelia does Tea Time Investigates on Pop Culture History Lesson.
That's true.
Little plug for that show.
Thank you.
But we always struggle to figure out what to investigate.
We're also lazy. So.
It's true.
I think sometimes we'd rather just watch a bad movie.
You know what we do too now? Is now we just do like a skincare update. Right. We just talk about makeup and skincare.
You're right. So we can let that die. Okay. But this also was the birth of Teabaggers as the Tea Time fandom name. That wasn't even an option that we gave. We liked like spillers and mugs and biscuits. But the Teabaggers really chose their own name.
Good for them.
I feel like Amelia has leaned into Teabaggers.
Oh, well, it just happened. Instagram. It just happened. This is funny because last week we talked about Chrishell. Liz, you were not here last week, but we talked about Chrishell and her new partnership with G Flip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I talked about reality TV contestants and the straight reality TV contestant to queer internet fave pipeline.
Okay.
And I mentioned this time when these two Bachelor contestants
For
24 hours made everyone think they were together. And this was the podcast where I talked through that trauma and was like, I followed them. And then 24 hours later, they betrayed me and were like, haha, just kidding. We're just friends. And I like angrily smashed unfollow. So I love that 2 years later, Chrishell is correcting that wrong.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah.
Also, 2 years ago, we were talking about Katy Perry pregnancy news. And also that she and Orlando Bloom were planning a wedding. And they are still not married in our Lord's year of 2022. We don't know a lot about this wedding, but we do know that it's a destination wedding and that it's been delayed multiple times because of all these variants. She was just talking about it in February of this year, being like, still hasn't happened, but it's coming. And I bet it's coming this summer.
It has to happen
soon. I guess.
Soon.
The world is healing a little bit. Feels like their daughter now is over a year old.
Yeah.
They've been together been engaged for like 3 years.
They have a weird dynamic.
Yeah, I haven't followed them too closely in the last 2 years. They've kind of been doing their own thing.
Yeah,
mercifully.
I was watching like American Idol, you know.
As you do.
Oh, yeah. As you do. Yeah.
And so they had, it was so weird because, so Luke Bryan has become really good friends with Orlando Bloom. And like one day Orlando Bloom like FaceTimed him on like the show and he was like, yeah, I just got done hang gliding. And like he does all these extreme sports. And it's like, what?
Remember when he was naked paddleboarding Katy
Perry?
Yes.
Yeah,
indeed. I
but
do
it's
recall
like,
that.
What? Who's watching the child? I don't know. It's just weird.
Was that your first question?
Well, it just like it was a little weird that, you know, she's busy. She's a working mom.
Yeah.
He's out here doing extreme sports. It seems a little.
Yeah.
That's true.
Where is Daisy?
You know?
Yeah. Good question.
Well, we have to keep an eye on their wedding that still hasn't happened.
It's coming. And then, I don't even remember this. I don't remember a lot. Okay, we announced Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which is a great book being turned into a movie with apparently Millie Bobby Brown.
No, it wasn't with Millie Bobby Brown. Oh. We wanted Millie Bobby Brown to play.
Oh,
and
well, thank God
we were like talking about whether she had aged out of the character. Now she's like out here on red carpets looking 40 years old.
Wait, so
I think it's safe to say.
Interesting.
It's kind of a nobody is like the child. Not to be like this child's a nobody.
Abby Ryder Fortson.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we were excited for this movie and it seems to be in post-production. So it should be coming soon.
Yeah, Rachel McAdams is in it. So that's fun. Okay.
I'll take it.
Also, Judge Judy rebranded as Justice Judy.
Mm. She did. 2 years later, how's that rebrand looking? Thoughts? Does anyone consider her Justice Judy?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
She will be Judge Judy.
At the time, we were like, is this a promotion? Is she moving from Judge to like Supreme Court Justice.
Oh my
Judy.
God.
And I don't think that rebrand has really worked. No, I don't think anyone has adopted that name.
Agreed.
So tough. Okay. These are some two very important wildlife news updates. First of all, and this somehow made it into the headline of this podcast on March 6, 2020. Laura Dern's goldfish died 2 years ago after 14 years. And I did a lot of investigation into this goldfish's death because, first of all, I was like, there's no way that it was 14 years old. And actually it was. The kind of goldfish that it was can live to be from 10 to 15. So that ultimately was true. Second of all, we had a lot of issues with the Instagram post because it was a picture of a biscuit with the goldfish behind it. Right. And we were like, you can't even, you've had this pet for 14 years. That's extremely long time to have a pet. One, doesn't have a name. Two, you didn't even have a good picture of it.
Right.
So I went back onto Laura Dern's Instagram yesterday and I was like, has she had any other pets die in the meantime? Is she treating her pets better than she treated this goldfish?
Wow.
And Laura Dern loves to eulogize pets on Instagram. However, she has had two eulogies for pets that are not hers. Naomi Watts' dog died. Laura Dern posted about the dog on her Instagram and was like, RIP, Bob. Okay. The dog's name was Bob. Okay. And then Laura Dern decided that she needed to put on the grid a picture of her with Bo, the Obama's dog that died because she met it one time and it died in 2021. And Laura Dern just spent a whole post on Bo, the dog, in memory of Bo.
Yeah.
So it seems to be something that she enjoys.
I can see Amelia in the corner of my eye on Laura Dern's Instagram scrolling around.
She also has a lot of pictures of her husky, which is alive.
I was going to say, yeah.
But I just think she treated this goldfish badly. I maintain that she could have been a better goldfish mom.
Hmm.
Also in wildlife news, this was quite the tea time moment. On the podcast, the last podcast we recorded in person, we discovered that there was a bald eagle thruple.
Oh, Jesus.
In Fulton, Illinois. And you guys, 2 years later, the bald eagle thruple is still together.
Oh, that's good.
Now, this bald eagle thruple has lasted longer than so many quarantine couples.
So many.
Wow.
This bald eagle thruple is more married than Katy Perry.
They're the real deal.
Now, their nest blew down in 2020.
No.
It blew away. However, they rebuilt on the other side of the river.
Oh.
They came together. Their names are Star, Valor 1, and Valor 2.
Oh.
And they rebuilt their nest, and they're still together 2 years later.
They rebuilt them. As many of us had to rebuild the last 2 years.
Honestly, it's true. I believe in love.
It's true.
They're committed.
Yeah.
They're committed to this relationship.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
And after that, it really went downhill from there.
Okay.
We played FMK with Girl Scout cookies.
I hate when we do that.
In unanswerable questions. We decided you would fuck the tagalongs, and Kaya said she would kill Thin Mints, which was a real betrayal.
Should have booted her
then. Stand by it.
Wow.
Terrible decision.
Who said this line? We'll be back next week, maybe a little bit more organized. Was that me?
That was with Kelly.
Damn.
That was your sign-off.
I had no idea what was coming. Freight train was coming.
2 years later, we are no more organized.
Certainly not.
It's true.
So that was our little time capsule.
Wow.
And now we're back. How do we feel? Feel good?
Yeah.
We made it.
You're really on your A game when you don't have internet issues. Hearing you clearly and concisely is like a different world. Isn't that Amelia? When we're not guessing what she's saying on the other line.
That'll do it.
Wow.
That'll do it.
All right. Let's keep going. Next category is not worth the tea. This week in social media and relationship news. This actually broke this morning. This is big and no one claimed it.
Rihanna
had her baby.
Yay!
Which is crazy. It's a baby boy.
It's great.
We are recording like 3 hours later than we usually do. And if we had recorded our usual time, we would have missed it.
Classic. Amazing. Maybe we should always do a little bit later on Thursday.
Maybe.
Get that morning news. But super exciting. We don't have a name. Everyone's waiting for a name. But this just in.
Are we sad that it's a boy? I felt a little disappointed. I would love like a mini-me Rihanna.
I thought it was going to be a girl. And I also thought it was going to be twins for some
reason. I thought it was going to be twins too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Tough. Right. Maybe next time. Yeah. Once they start having kids, it's nonstop.
There's no stop.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Next one.
Oh, Lord. Okay. I have to check in with the scourge that is Cara Delevingne. She was trending this week on Twitter because she's just everywhere. And it's hard to describe. So I just have to run through a couple moments. The BBMAs, Billboard Music Awards, were last weekend. And Cara Delevingne was trending because she would not stop being annoying. Basically, she was stalking Megan Thee Stallion on the red carpet. And there were these videos of her, like Megan Thee Stallion was throwing her train in the air to like make it look good in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And Cara Delevingne started doing it for her in like this very annoying way. where like you could tell Meg was like visibly irritated and like didn't want help, but Kara was like, I'm part of this. Mm-hmm. So that was annoying. Then some idiot sat Cara Delevingne between Doja Cat and Megan Thee Stallion. I don't know who was like, let's split up these two and put Cara right there.
Right in the middle.
But she kept popping into the frame to like hype them up whenever the camera would show them. She had this like manic energy. Megan won top rap female artist and Cara Delevingne went crazy, jumped up, lost her mind, like stuck her tongue out, flung Meg's train into the air as she walked to the stage.
Oh my God.
Again, like, Megan Thee Stallion is, like, visibly, like, stop.
Yeah.
Then she went viral on Twitter for, like, laying on the ground and taking pictures of Doja and DJ Khaled. Like, for some reason, she decided to lay flat and, like, take this upward-facing picture of them. Also very annoying.
Yeah.
And then she went viral on TikTok because she was at SNL and she, like, asked out some random audience member. And then she was at the after party. She was like partying it up with Selena Gomez, Post Malone. And people were bringing back pictures of her. I don't remember if you saw the pictures of her partying with Eric Adams, the New York mayor, like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, she I did see that.
So fucked up. And it was just like, why are you there? What are you doing? So she's just always there and she's always watching.
Yeah. Did you see also that Megan Thee Stallion posted a photo on Instagram? This up.
Yes, yes. And she edited it out. Kara.
She's on top of things.
She is. I get it. I get it.
You got to get rid of her. I don't know who sat her there, but that was the worst decision. She's inescapable. She's always watching.
I know.
Do you think she was on something?
I have some worries about like her manic energy.
Yeah.
You know? It's hard to say, but she is a menace of Hollywood at the moment. So.
Well, it's so funny because like I'm sure you've seen the set of photos of her and Rosario Dawson making out at like a Nets game or something.
Oh no, wait, is it Rosario Dawson or is it
Oh no, I'm sorry. No, it's Michelle Rodriguez. Yes, I always get those two mixed up for some reason.
Right.
And I mean she's like just wasted.
Yeah.
And it's just funny. The pictures are really funny.
We can't escape her either at tea time. No. Like about her bench.
Her tunnel?
Her body paint at the damn Met Gala.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
And, she's everywhere.
You know, she's also going to be on one of my favorite shows, Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah, she's going to be Selena Gomez's girlfriend.
I know. And I'm like, no, I just don't like her. And I don't think she's a good actress. Sorry.
I hate her. They should stop. We need to stop trying to make her happen. You know, she had a moment in 2015.
Oh my God, 100%.
But then it was like, we all can have good eyebrows. And then like society rebounded, you know?
Yeah, and it's just.
Like other models can be gay. And it was like, we don't have to do this anymore. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Really tough.
Well, and she just, also, you're right. They have tried to make her happen. And
for
it
so
just
long.
Has never caught on.
No.
And, and I don't say that to be a mean person. You
just
know?
Speaking the truth.
Just speaking, sorry. Not my fault. I mean, I guess it kind of is because I'm part of the public. You know?
And I'm sure we'll talk about her again soon. So when we do, don't get mad at us.
I'm sure.
But she's inescapable is the takeaway. All right. I have to do a really quick lightning round weird outfit watch because there were three just weird outfits that we just need to discuss this week for Not Worth the Tea. First of all, at @Suge_Knight on Twitter tweeted a picture of Brie Larson and her boyfriend at Disney World. And said, Brie Larson's boyfriend's outfit has shaken me to my core. Now,
have you seen it, Amelia?
No, I don't.
Oh, pull it up. I'll send it to
His name is Elijah Allen Blitz. And this man, Elijah, has short legs. Now, listen, as a tall person, I also am long torsoed and short legged. So I understand the struggle. But what you can't do when you have a long torso is make your torso longer the way that he did. He has taken the skin tight V-neck. And has pulled it down over his butt and he kind of has like low rising pants it's something about this outfit makes it look like his legs are incredibly short and his torso is incredibly long. How else would you describe it?
This outfit is me every single day from the 8th grade to the 10th grade.
It has like when we wore undershirts under everything and like pulled them over our butt. Like this is somehow what he's done.
It's like tight and doesn't look good.
No.
And sat right below your hip, like your actual hips.
Yes.
Oh.
It's really tough. And what's funny is that like 4,000 people retweeted this and then 4,000 people quote tweeted it and were like mad about it. Like somehow people were like really came to this man's defense and were like, it's normal legs. It's like Like, that's fine. He does. I looked at other pictures of him, though, and he is objectively, like, a long torsoed, short-legged man.
Sure, sure.
Which, again, is fine, but, like, you can't accentuate that with by pulling your V-neck down all the way down of your butt. So
he's living in 2012. That's all I gotta say.
He is. And he can do better, and it's tough.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Next weird outfit. Ugh. This was sent to me by Liz Kelly, and she was like, are you annoyed by them yet? And I said, yes, I am. This is, again, Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly. I do have to say really quick, they actually looked great at a couple of events.
Oh, she looked good.
He had, I thought, a very fun pink suit at a certain event. And then they also looked good, I thought, at the BBMAs. However, she changed into this blue jumpsuit at the BBMAs. And like, they always expose themselves, too. Like, they think that, and I guess that's, we talking about them, so we're part of the problem. But
we are.
She posted a picture of a text from her to her stylist. And it's a picture of her jumpsuit that she's wearing. And she said, was this blue outfit expensive because we just cut a hole in the crotch so we could have sex? And then the stylist replied, I hate you, laughing emojis, I'll fix it. I have a lot of questions.
I hate you too.
Me too. I do. I'm officially annoyed by them. I said I would let you know when they got more annoying than they are entertaining. This is it. We've reached it. I'm annoyed for the stylist. I'm also annoyed because it's not easier to cut a hole in the jumpsuit than it is to just take it off.
Right.
You have to work so hard to do that.
Where did they find the scissors?
Right. You had to find scissors. You had to probably take it off in order to cut the hole.
I was going to say, you have to be very careful. So
if
why
you
not?
Don't. Yeah. So it seems like a waste.
The risk is not worth the reward.
No, it's not. And I'm annoyed. It was like 2 a.m. This poor stylist is like, oh my God. So that's tough. That is tough. Finally, last annoying weird person outfit. Julia Fox went grocery shopping in her underwear and a denim blazer. And she said she's preparing for the apocalypse. Sure. And I wanted to note because I thought that she made this tote bag. The worst thing actually about this, I don't care about the underwear. It's fine, whatever. She is holding a tote bag that looks like a pair of jeans. Mm-hmm. I'll turn around and show you. It looks like a pair of jeans that are tied at the top. And I thought that she DIY'd it because she has done this in the past. She's worn like some really heinous denim outfits that she made herself. However, this is a $600 Alexander Wang tote bag.
Whoa.
People buy this on purpose. And it looks like you're just holding a pair of jeans that are tied together. And it's actually horrible. Something about it really bothers me.
Did you guys ever like pretend to run away as a kid and like pretend to like pack a bag and go? And that's exactly what it is.
Yes. It looks like the way you like tie the bandana
like,
over
a
the
stapler
stick.
And like a crunch bar in there. And then you were like, I'm leaving. And you like tied your pants upside down and then you left.
Wow. That may
not
have
a universal
specifically been a Liz experience. Did you do the pants specifically?
Something like that.
Wow.
But,
that is what this looks like.
Wow.
That was you preparing for the apocalypse. And she also is doing that.
Wow.
So
true.
She's still annoying too. So that's my lightning round outfits update. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, truly, that was great. I enjoyed every single one of those.
Great.
Updates.
I'm glad someone did.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I was really lazy this week. So I just came and colored in my color with the last remaining little check-in piece that was here. And you know what? Thank God, because it actually has to do with Nick Cannon. We've been covering him. We've been, you know, investigating his prodigiousness.
His brood of children.
It's true. And he recently said that he has had a vasectomy consultation. So, yay.
A consultation?
Thinking
about it.
He's thinking about it. So I think that's good that he's thinking about it.
It's baby steps.
Is that news? Would you not drop that post-op? Be like, I had a vasectomy?
Well,
I think it's an important step in the process. At least he realizes that he has too many children.
That's true.
With
too
many different people.
Right.
Right. And so this comes after his announcement in January that he was expecting his 8th child.
Okay.
It's a lot. It's a lot of children. The world is dying. He has to get a vasectomy.
Thank you for giving us that update. Please keep us posted if he actually goes through
with it.
We'll
do. Yeah.
I have two really quick things. I think because I'm one of the last people that care about Jordan Rodgers and JoJo Fletcher.
Oh my God. I was like, who are these people?
Yeah.
When you wrote in the outline,
I was like,
they finally
got married, Amelia. What? crazy.
Happy for them.
They got engaged 6 years ago on The Bachelor. Wow. And they have stayed strong all the way through. And he actually reproposed recently to be like, let's do this in our own way as real people off camera. Mm-hmm. I do like them. And I don't know what. That was like the last good season I watched, I feel like.
Is he still estranged from Aaron?
Probably. Didn't look into that piece of it. But I'm not sure if he attended. I don't know. Where was Shailene? I don't know, but they're married. And that's great.
That's amazing.
And they'll probably have a kid soon.
That was a great casting. I just want to say.
Oh, so
such great casting. Yeah.
Okay. Last thing. This is random. I don't know if any of you guys were tracking this like I was.
I saw this.
Okay. Okay. So, you guys, I, just as background, have been wearing Bobbi Brown, the same Bobbi Brown eyeliner since legit the seventh grade, in the same way. I will die with Bobbi Brown.
It looks great.
Thank you.
It does look great. Your eyes are popping.
Okay.
Yes, it looks
Thank
lovely.
You. Bobbi Brown herself is in a kerfuffle with a woman on TikTok, and I love it. Okay. Do you guys know the TikTok beauty influencer Meredith Duxbury? She's really famous for putting a lot of foundation on. Basically a whole bottle.
Yes.
She rubs it in and it looks flawless by the end. I don't know how she does it.
Well,
but like,
she has to scrape some of it off.
That's
right?
What people think. But other, that's her real claim to fame is the amount of product she puts in.
She
and
she puts
then,
on so much.
And she's so naturally beautiful. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, so like a lot of TikTok influencers, they try new products and review them, whatever. So Bobbi Brown's latest cosmetics company is an offshoot of Bobbi Brown, and it's called Jones Road Beauty. And they, Jones Road Beauty, came out with a what the foundation, like WTF foundation cream, kind of.
Okay.
So anyway, Meredith Duxbury reviews this product, smears half of the entire like canister on her face, and it goes horribly, doesn't blend in well. She tries a beauty blender, it comes off. She's like, ew, I hate this product. Everyone was like, you used half of it. That's not how it's supposed to go. Anyway, this got so viral. And other people were giving it bad reviews too because they were putting too much on.
Yeah.
Bobbi Brown, the queen herself, got onto TikTok.
Wow.
And was like, I've always loved learning new makeup techniques and I learned a new one. And she proceeds to take the entire like cup of Jones Road Beauty and like plaster it on her face in a very obviously bad way. And was like, huh. Like, interesting. And just like this little, you know, wink, wink, smirk.
Yeah.
The people loved it. I loved it. Everyone was like, you go, Bobbi Brown. You're a queen.
Yeah.
And Meredith Duxbury, you don't know how to apply makeup correctly.
You jester.
And I loved it. And there's like a bajillion reviews now on Jones Road being like, I love this one. You know, it did great stuff for her and
good
the brand.
For her. Yeah.
And she took a bad thing and she made it good.
Love it.
And
amazing.
She always does. My girl.
She is resilient.
I love her. I don't know why.
I mean, the whole Jones Road thing, like, it was, what, 20 years to the day where she had, like, a contract with Estee Lauder or whatever the company is. And I think she had to wait, like, 20 years from that date until she was able to, like, make her own company again. And that's where Jones Road comes from. And she did it, like, to the day, 20 years, like she filed
petty.
A new
petty
company.
Queen.
Yeah, is that crazy?
That's why she was in charge of Tea Time Investigates because she knows things like this.
See? There it is.
Wow.
There it is.
A little fascinating story.
Yeah.
She's, you know, she's like a cool girl boss.
She is cool.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Okay, let's do cringe mode.
Wow. This is our first ever in-person cringe mode.
Yes, this is.
We knew we had to pick something deranged.
Yes.
And that we did.
We did.
We picked
a simple favor.
Yeah.
Now, it was announced this week that there is a sequel going ahead for A Simple Favor, which is what brought it to our attention.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering.
Okay. Kaya and I had seen it. We were like, this is an insane movie, and we should talk about it in person. It is an insane movie. It stars two Tea Time feuds, longtime Tea Time feuds.
Yeah.
Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick. And that alone would have made it, I think, enough to qualify it as a cringe mode. However, this is an insane movie. I'm going to try to do a plot summary off the top of my head. It's not going to go well. There are a lot of plot twists that we can kind of just like get to when we get to them.
Sure.
Anna Kendrick is a sort of mommy blogger, hardcore like YouTuber for moms. And she meets Blake Lively's character, Emily, because their kids go to the same school. She goes over to Emily's for drinks. They sort of hang out. She's like very mysterious. She doesn't like her picture taken. She has a lot of great outfits. She's married to Henry Golding, who like is like a writer. Emily goes missing after like a couple weeks. Anna Kendrick decides to like sort of find her and also sort of take over her life, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
She starts sleeping with her husband. Emily's body is found in the lake. They're like, oh, bummer, she's dead. Anna Kendrick moves in. Turns out Emily's not dead. She starts calling on the phone. And it turns out she faked her death in order to get insurance money. And the way she faked her death is that she turns out she was a twin. There are a lot of other things that happen. But she gets caught ultimately in the end. Anna Kendrick like live streams her confession. Yeah. She gets hit by Andrew Rannells' Prius at the end and ends up in jail.
There's
so much that happens other than that.
In there.
What did I miss that's big?
There's
Anna Kendrick has a secret that she slept with her half-brother at her dad's funeral and then ultimately kept sleeping with him.
It's so crazy.
And her child actually belonged to the half-brother, and her husband purposefully killed her half-brother in a car accident.
And he died himself. It was a murder-suicide.
Yes, but because the kid was the brother's.
Yeah.
Right, but I think that's what is the new movie is going to be about.
Oh my gosh.
I think that they might do something with that.
Get back to the the brother fucker.
Yes, totally,
of it all.
Totally.
Is it a prequel or a sequel?
I believe it's a sequel, but it's hard to say.
Okay. Who's to say
Who
what
knows?
Will happen? I bet she's gonna escape.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. Okay.
We'll get to it.
All right.
Let's talk highlights.
I gotta say, this is actually one of the most cringy movies I've seen in a really long time. I feel like we have to like defend ourselves when we pick cringe ones. Be like, it's cringy because like it aged or this happened. This is just straight up a cringe mode.
Yes.
I was in cringe mode.
It is
batshit
crazy. Like it's actually an insane movie.
It's wild. And I know you're going to talk about this. There's a lot of different ways it's cringy, and I won't give them all away at the top. But 100%, I was like, watching the whole movie. Just had to start there.
Correct. I appreciate that this movie like capitalizes on the inherent annoyingness of Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
Like it took Anna Kendrick and it was like, how can we typecast her and make use of her most annoying qualities? And it made her into this mommy blogger, like true crime influencer.
Yeah.
And it is so spot on.
Like, she's a total tryhard in this
such
movie.
A tryhard. Her name's like Stephanie and she's so annoying. And there's also a scene where she's like rapping in the car. And I was like, I guarantee Anna Kendrick was like, I should just like rap in the car to this song. And like they just left it in because they were like, actually, that's super annoying and like really fits the character. It's just spot on. It really is. I'm like, she is not cool. She's supposed to be cool like in the Pitch Perfect movies and it doesn't fit at all. No. She's like very earnest and tryhard. And it really.
This is who she was in a different life. Living in Connecticut, working on a little mommy blog, just being annoying as hell. Yeah. A highlight I just want to say is that the kids' instincts throughout this movie are correct, and it's the adults that are so weird and annoying and terrible. So I wanted to give a shout out. There's particularly the kid of Blake Lively and Henry Golding is like, "You're trying to be my mom. You're not my mom." And to his credit, she is.
Yes.
Like, she fully grabs onto this life and her closet and her shoes and her weird ass, whatever, moves in instantly. Mm-hmm. I just got to give credit to that little guy.
He was right.
It's true.
Yep.
He was right.
He shall not be discredited.
No. Amelia, hit it.
Okay. Did anyone else feel like the vibe of this movie was literally just like Quibi series, like an entire season of a Quibi show, you know, like five to 10, 15-minute episodes strung together to make this film. It's like, you know, after Roku bought them out, they were like, well, I guess we can sell this one to...
You know what, too, I felt was like, this person wrote it little piece by piece. I was like, what's going to happen next? And just like didn't have an arc. Was just like, and then this happened. And that didn't make
sense.
It's
like some of those old internet forums where they're like, part one of the story. And then they have to make it like crazy each time. So we get like so many twists.
Weird plot twists.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, it does have big Quibi energy.
Yeah.
It's true.
I did not know what was coming next in the movie. And I had, that is a highlight. Because I was like, what could possibly happen next? And it only got heightened each 20 minutes that went by. I was in disbelief. So I was captivated.
Me too. It is true. It's not boring. You know,
that is so true.
It's a fun experience to watch.
Yes.
I would say. Like, yes, we hate the main actresses. So, like, it was more of a hate watch for us. But Gone Girl meets Gossip Girl, like, trashy Gone Girl is such a genius concept.
Yeah.
It is.
It's really good. And if it was people that we hated less, I think we would, like, legitimately enjoy this movie.
Okay.
But we do have some baggage.
Agreed.
That colors it. My final highlight is that they say a simple favor. First of all, like 10 seconds into the movie, Anna Kendrick is on her blog and she's like, she asked me for a simple favor. And I was like, to my cat, I was like, that's the simple favor. but they say it like 4 times this movie. I laugh every time. It's so unnecessary. It's like, I get it. It's a simple favor.
It's so true.
Agreed.
That's the name.
All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this conversation. Let's do the lowlights.
It's so long. Our lowlights category is very long.
It's almost a page.
Yeah.
So we'll try to hit these quick. So Anna Kendrick, first of all, also overarching, it tried to be much more tongue-in-cheek than I thought it was going to be. She tried to be a little dry. It tried to be more comedic in like this dry wit from Anna Kendrick more than I needed it to be.
Yeah.
And none of it hit any time. But to be specific about her character, Anna Kendrick hooks up with her best friend's husband pretty much instantly after she dies.
Like the day after.
Yeah, like the day of the funeral, they go upstairs and are like, let's do it. And Anna Kendrick's character sleeps with her half-brother also on the day of her father's funeral.
Literally
and
setting
the
up the bed for him in the basement.
So bad.
They just met. He's like, I'm your half-brother.
It is the day she meets that man and finds out that they're related. And she's like,
I'm in.
Where is her judgment?
Not here. Nowhere to be seen.
But she did have, I mean, the best friend's husband was a hottie, and so was the half-brother.
The half-brother actually is very hot. It's true. It doesn't excuse it, but it is an important note.
Amelia wrote, sorry to report the truth.
Honestly, thank you for reporting the truth.
Hey.
Also, I love, all of this comes out in like her second conversation with Blake Lively. She goes over to her house to like have drinks.
They've opened a bottle of aviation gin,
which we'll get into. And Blake Lively's like, what's the craziest thing you've ever done? And Anna Kendrick's like, haha, what's yours? And Blake Lively's like, I had a threesome. And it's like, okay, I slept with my half-brother.
That took nothing at all to get that out.
It's like, make something up. You know, like, if that's it, like, you gotta come up with something
it's
else.
It's so true.
Because,
so true.
And to be fair, she does just tell him that she kissed him, which is like, it. And then Blake Lively is like, oh, you definitely had sex with him. And then she just starts calling her brother fucker for the rest of the movie, which
it's
is
true.
Unbelievable. I saw this movie in theaters. And the moment Blake Lively starts calling her brother fucker and like says it again and again, I actually was like choking on my popcorn. I was like, what am I watching right now? Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's so funny.
Oh my God. Yeah. Not to harp on her character, but Kendrick takes actual sick pleasure from taking over Blake Lively's life. Like, I guess they're both troubled. Anna Kendrick was never truly like the real protagonist, and then it wasn't that clear. But she comes in there and is tossing those Louboutins out of the way instantly.
Yeah.
It's cooking for the husband.
She puts on her dress, and then when she gets caught in it, she cuts it off.
I'm like, just unzip it.
Yeah. Another cutting.
Right. What are we doing?
Situation that didn't need to happen.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's true.
Also, absolutely unnecessary part of this movie was seeing a decomposed, waterlogged Blake Lively from the bottom of the fucking lake.
It's not good.
No. And it stays on there. It's a good 5 second close-up. Yes. And I thought that was not necessary. You know what I mean? We can have it in our heads and assume
I agree.
What that would look like.
Right. We don't need to see you unzip it slowly.
And that camera just sits on her face. And I'm like, that's, you know?
Yeah. It is too much.
No,
I agree.
Thanks.
Not that.
Something else we didn't need was the aviation gin, Ryan Reynolds brand of gin. Just, you know, she's like, let me make you a drink. Do you like gin? And, you know, it's just like, we know.
It comes back several times.
It does. It's like, what am I going to get next? So, again, in ad for Cricket Wireless or whatever mobile brand he has. Yeah. Mint Mobile.
Yeah, this gin is literally on the kitchen table, kind of like front and center right next to Blake Lively.
It's like, oh! I just want like a little note for people to know.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, great.
And then also, some of the dialogue in this movie is so unintentionally funny. And just, like, the delivery, like, Henry Golding, husband of Blake Lively's character, was like, we had sex on a plane. 9 months later, Nikki was born.
Okay.
He was like, I am so spellbound by her. I don't know what to do. And we're like, oh, yeah, all right. Like, it's just not a great
And that was
actor.
A serious scene. And I was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I have him in, I'm just going to say it now. He was my LVP. When will we as a society admit that Henry Golding is a bad
Don't
actor?
Do that. Don't do that.
I think
I
he's
love him.
Quite bad. He's really hot.
He is. But he was bad in this.
I don't think I've ever seen him in anything and not been like,
he was
really
pretty bad
pretty
in this.
Bad.
I will say.
He's
it's
a pretty
sad.
Bad actor.
Yeah. He's pretty and he's bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Both things.
Okay, and then also, I'm sorry, and I really don't mean to, I know that I don't really like Blake Lively, but like, I don't mean to shit on her.
I think we came into this with an open mind.
Yeah, exactly, because you know, she looks great in those suits. Yeah. But the thing is, I cannot take her like, cool, unattainable girl thing seriously. Like when she's like, yeah, babe, she's like, you don't say that. It's so unnatural for you to say that. And then she's like, yeah, you know, I fuck up with a lot of guys. And you're like,
okay.
What is this?
I completely agree with you. And she's like, mommy needs a drink. And I'm like, no!
Stop it! it's way too far.
It's too far. She's just like, she doesn't pull it off. And I was watching some video review and they were like, yeah, Blake Lively is fine in this, but she couldn't do what like a young Angelina Jolie could do. Mm-hmm. Like if she were cast in this role, she could pull it off.
Oh, she's like not in on the joke. You know, like Blake Lively really thinks she did something with this.
Oh my God.
Like she really thinks like she is like sexy and cool and like really pulling it off. And she needs to be more in on the joke
for
it to work.
You're so right.
Yeah. Also, you need to read the second part of this.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. But so there's, of course, they kissed in a part of it.
I hated that part of the movie.
Well, it was the least erotic kiss ever. And we all know it.
Yes.
Why did, that was so random.
So shoehorned in. I think it was just like supposed to be like, first of all, they're just trying to make it like Anna Kendrick is obsessed with her.
Right.
And also, Blake Lively is cool and like kisses girls sometimes.
Right.
You know, like, whoa.
That's exactly it.
And they have, they have like this awkward kiss moment. And no one asked for it. No one enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Maybe Anna Kendrick. I don't know. But yeah, it did not need to happen.
No.
At
it's just
all.
So sterile.
Very unsexy.
Yeah.
Actually, that's my biggest lowlight is like there's no actual chemistry in this movie.
None.
They try to make it really sexy and
they
like
erotic
campy and fun. Mm-hmm. But none of these people have chemistry with each other. Like none of these people, like obviously like attractive people, sure,
right,
and wearing great clothes.
Yeah.
You know, in murder plots, like there should be an inherently sexy element of this.
Yeah.
And it just isn't. Just
that's
none
so
of these
true.
People. Anna Kendrick does not have chemistry with the half-brother or Henry Golding or Blake Lively.
Right.
It's not just her fault. But in general, like, it is weirdly sterile for a movie that should be like fun and sexy.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And I just really quick have to talk about how these women know each other for like 2 weeks. And everyone is like, she's my best friend. Like they are best friends. Anna Kendrick, the whole movie, calls Blake Lively her best friend. Like, Emily was my best friend. Which part of it is that you're supposed to get, like, she has no friends and she's, like, very obsessed with her. But also, Blake Lively's character at the end is like, you were my best friend. It's like, you knew each other for 2 weeks!
All these people are working on warp speed. You know that.
I mean,
the day of the funeral, they're having
crazy.
Sex.
Like, that's true. They're talking about...
these are not on
they're
the same
talking
timeline
about,
as we are. As
sleeping with
beings.
Your brother the second time they meet. That's true. Oh, it is a very accelerated timeline.
It is.
Yeah.
But that really bugged me. I was like, you're not best friends. You're just not.
True. All right, what is age the best and the worst? This movie came out in 2018, so just a little look back.
We have a couple things.
I would say best is Blake Lively. She really leaned into the suit thing. Mm-hmm. And remember when Taylor Swift, she like didn't wear a red lipstick, and then she wore it once on like the cover of Glamour or something. And then the next thing you knew, it was her personality. Yeah. I feel like this is kind of like that, but with Blake and suits, where it's like, oh my God.
Yep,
she's a suit girl now?
Yeah.
She's unstoppable, you know? So.
Yes, and I was going to talk about this later too, but like she was really early to the trend of like actors dressing like their characters on red carpets, which is like such a thing now. Like people will do full press cycles and like, you know, like wear whatever kind of outfit like kind of fits with the theme of the movie. Mm-hmm. And Blake Lively's suits on this press cycle were honestly like pretty great and incredible and very over the top. And she was pretty early to like the dressing like character thing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Kind of made it a thing. Mm-hmm. Also, Age of the Best. I mean, the fact that this is getting a sequel means that this aged pretty well, like in the public view.
Yeah.
It has basically become kind of like a quick cult favorite. Mm-hmm. Like there have been podcasts about it. Like
really?
Paul Feige like went on this podcast that a couple members of the media did and was like, we want a sequel. Like I would love to do this again. Like it was so fun. Mm-hmm. And it's only been like 4 years, but... It really, like, became, like, a we love simple favor. Like, it's like, fun hate watch. Like, campy, you know, cult fave. So, I guess it worked because it's getting a sequel.
Wow, great.
Really quick, what age the worst? How does someone make a sequel to this? Like, how do you...
Speaking of sequel.
How do you make it more batshit? Like, what are we going to add here?
Well, Blake Lively's clearly going to escape from prison and haunt Anna Kendrick.
Try to kill Anna Kendrick?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's it, too. I also, like, I'm like, who do we add? Sorry. Like... Can we get like a Sisterhood of Traveling Pants cast member in here? Like,
ooh,
who
Alexis
do we want
Bledel,
to add?
America Ferrera?
I feel like they need to look inward, and you'll talk about this later. There's a lot of good people. Fucking put Jean Smart in for more than 30 seconds of the movie.
We gotta get her back.
Yes, totally.
Do we think Ryan Reynolds will give himself a cameo in the sequel somehow?
Yes.
He has too much FOMO. He'll want to be involved.
And, like, it'll be annoying.
I'm going to respect Blake's quote unquote craft.
Okay.
Okay. You know,
that's fair. Thing. Yeah.
But there will be more Jean. For sure.
Right? For sure. Yeah. For sure.
All right. MVP, quickly. Mine is Andrew Rannells. Rannells? He's in Girls. I love him so much.
He's really funny.
He is a parent in this movie and actually ends up kind of saving the day and runs over Blake Lively with his Prius. And it's freaking sweet. And actually, of all the weird comedy they tried in this movie, I actually think his was the only that hit and felt more natural.
Yeah.
Like whatever Anna Kendrick was doing.
Agreed.
Who's your guys's?
I'm always happy to see Linda Cardellini. We all chose side characters because none of us wanted to choose the main two actresses or Henry Golding.
True.
Linda Cardellini plays like Blake Lively's ex-girlfriend, like who painted this nude picture of her, which is like a horrible painting, by the way. It's like vulva first. It's horrible. It's awful. But she like investigates this picture as like a clue and she traces it back to Linda Cardellini. And I'm just like always happy to see her. Just
she's coming
every
back.
Time.
She's Me coming too. Back for sure.
Yeah. She is good.
She will be back.
Okay.
She's like, great.
Need round questions. I'm handing this off to whoever wrote these because it's too good not to be credited.
I wanted us to choose the most insane plot twist. Okay. And so I listed them out as I watched. The first plot twist is the brother fucker plot twist. The fact that Anna Kendrick slept with her half brother the night of her dad's funeral. Second plot twist, Blake's dead. And also she's a heroin addict and she's been dragged up from the bottom of the lake and she has track marks between her fingers. All of this. Next plot twist, Anna Kendrick's kid is actually the brother's and her husband killed him on purpose in a murder-suicide because she kept sleeping with the brother. Flashback time. Plot twist, Blake and Anna are making out for no reason. The next plot twist, it turns out that Blake is a twin and she killed her sister. And that was the person that they dredged up from the bottom of the lake. Also, they keep saying they're like, actually, we were triplets and we killed our triplet in the womb.
It's right.
Like, yeah, that's not real. You didn't mean to do that on purpose. That wasn't premeditated. Like, you're a twin. The next plot twist is that Anna Kendrick was live streaming this confession all along. Blake thought she killed all the cameras, but it turns out on her mommy blog, they were, got the whole thing in living color. And then the last twist is when Blake is about to shoot Anna Kendrick, Andrew Reynolds hits her with his Prius. Which of these were you like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened? Most. Amelia.
I was just not expecting the whole brother fucker thing.
Like, out of nowhere.
It really does.
It's hard to beat that.
As you were watching that unfold, and I was watching this at 10 in the morning yesterday, and then he starts going, the sex scene unfolds, and I was like, this actually cannot be happening.
Liz texted me and was like, I can't believe I'm watching this at 10 a.m. And I was like, yeah, that was a choice that you made.
It was an explicit scene, and I wasn't ready. And I was shocked. Was it? Or was it just sexual? Steamy implies it was like, very explicit.
It was like, whoa, this is like the late night
sex scene itself that was most jarring to Liz. And it was
just the concept. Like, what? How did we get here?
Yeah.
You're fucking your brother?
Yeah. Like, how is that? I don't know. It just
also how is that relevant to the overall story?
Yeah. That was the moment that Blake Lively is like, oh my God. Brother fucker. And then she just keeps saying
it
over and over. I was like, and that's like a half hour in or like 45 minutes.
That should have told us what the hell was about to happen. Yeah, they didn't care.
I think that, but Liz, do you think that the murder-suicide realization is more shocking?
Yeah. I mean, he just absolutely put his car in a smithereens trying to kill. But like, it would have been better had he just, they moved the family.
Right.
They became estranged. They said, don't come around here
anymore.
But instead,
solutions.
He chose to actually drive into an overpass.
Yeah. I agree. I think those are, the Blake twin is like not that shocking.
Yeah.
It's like
classic.
A decent, silly plot twist. But like, it wasn't like, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
Right, right. Yeah.
I would say second to the brother is the Prius. I would agree.
Mm-hmm. That was shocking.
She
to
just
me.
Goes flying.
She, yes, does. She does.
You know?
And you see it.
And you see it. So, and she's kind of like a puppet. Like, they kind of just like toss a doll in the air and are like, that's Blake Lively.
True.
Yeah. It's
true.
In a dress. I agree. I think we're agreed on the craziest plot twist.
Yeah.
What's Blake's craziest fit in this movie? A lot of suits.
Lots of suits. There are a couple, like one looks like she's gonna be a part of Young Frankenstein, like the whole putting on the Ritz. Mm-hmm. She like literally is dressed exactly the same. And then another, she kind of has the pinstripe three-piece Ask Jeeves logo guy thing going on. And the thing is, she doesn't look bad in these suits. She looks great. I mean, she just also looks like she's trying way too hard. There's nothing effortless.
Well, she has a cane.
For what reason? It's just like, what? Yeah.
Also, the least believable thing about this movie is that she wears these outfits and doesn't want her picture taken.
So
you know
true.
What I mean? Like, no one who puts that much effort into an ensemble and just shows up to pick up her kid in a three-piece suit and a cane is like, don't take a picture of me. Like, if you don't want attention, then you don't want attention. But if you dress this way, then, like, you clearly want people to look at you and take pictures
exactly.
of you.
Exactly.
That's very unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
She does have some great ones. I have to take the topless suit plus cane. The whole last part of this movie, before she wears the dress or whatever, unfolds in this graveyard, and she just is like fully topless with a blazer over it and this ascot tie and a cane and like pinstripes. And she's sitting and giving her statement to the police after this. Like, she hits herself in the eye and makes herself look like she got hit.
Oh, right.
But she's still in this outfit. I'm like, put a shirt on. It's just ridiculous. It is ridiculous. She's like, must be taped into this blazer somehow.
Yeah.
But it's wild.
I'm going a little off book. I'm going not in the movie, but on the red carpet, which I feel like is fair game because she's also in a suit, like a three-piece suit. It's bright pink. And I want to know, I think there is beef between the two of these actresses in real life. I think that's been kind of known about them, was they had issues with each other, didn't like each other. So I think their publicists also hated each other, or wardrobe stylists. They were not communicating on this red carpet tour.
No.
Anna Kendrick is very small. Blake Lively, very tall. So obviously there just needs to be more coordination because physically they look very different. Mm-hmm. Anna Kendrick is in a Gap short sleeve t-shirt and like a BCBG little short skirt. And her hair is just down, and she just looks like that. And then Blake Lively is towering like next to her on the red carpet, at least 6'2" and a half, in a three-piece bright pink suit, looking great. But like, there's no communication between the two of these looks, and they just, they look so disjointed. And
they make each other look silly. Like, if you saw both of them individually, you'd be like, okay, that's like, so she's wearing a white t-shirt, but like, it's fine. And then like, you'd see Blake's and be like, okay, like, wow, she really went for it. But when they put them together, they both look so much sillier because that's neither of them are like coordinated whatsoever. And also the height thing is just really funny.
Right. Yes. Well, it looks like mom and daughter.
It does.
Going to the country club dance or something.
It's very awkward.
Yeah. Agreed. Who wrote this next one?
Gotta be Amelia.
Oh, yeah, I did. Who's the better actress in this, Blake or Anna? And honestly, Anna.
It's unanimous.
It is.
It is Anna. Blake, bad actress. Yeah. She is fun to watch in many ways, and you know, love Sister of the Traveling Pants. And
I
think she's like well cast in this to a degree. Like,
yeah,
she has
that.
To be kind of this like larger than life figure. But Anna Kendrick carries, I mean, the whole movie, really.
She's just our short king,
short king Anna Kendrick. Amelia, this one was also you, let's round it out.
Okay, just because they kept on throwing these barbs at each other. Pick the title you'd rather have, Sister Killer or Brother Fucker.
I mean, incredible
it's
options.
Obvious.
Amelia went, we really pivoted on this one.
Oh, she did.
I did not expect. What was your choice?
Well, so I don't have a brother, but I have a sister, and I can't say, like, sister, that makes me sad. So I said, Brother Fucker, I guess.
I think this is because you don't have a
brother. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can remove yourself from it.
Absolutely not an option.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you gotta go Sister Killer. You have to.
Becky
I'm sorry.
Kelly, I know you listen to this. I'm
sorry
so
to
sorry.
Anne and Becky.
You know. That's not in the
game. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. All right.
Quickly. Our last category is Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Kate.
Guys, we love an aesthetic. Mm, whenever there's a new aesthetic, we have to check in with it. And we actually missed the boat a little bit on this one. So I have to bring it up and talk about it. This is clean girl aesthetic. I saw a tweet this weekend that said, clean girl aesthetic is so boring. You are 20 wearing a blazer to the club. And I love a blazer. And I have not worn one to the club, but I might have when I was 20. If I had clean girl aesthetic to blame. Now, clean girl aesthetic has been a thing for several months. If you're on TikTok, I'm sure you've seen it. The clean girl, quote unquote, has her life together. Mm. Her manicure is fresh. Her skin is dewy. There is never a middle parted hair out of place. She looks expensive, but in an attainable way. So it's like blazers, baggy jeans, crop tops. It's very like model streetwear.
Mm.
Like simple crop tops, like loose fit pants, high rise denim, dainty gold jewelry, like matching athleisure sets, a lot of like Aritzia, white sneakers, like a lot of like Hailey Bieber, Zoe Kravitz. Are we in or out on clean girl aesthetic? We love an aesthetic. We were in on coastal grandma core.
We were.
This is honestly kind of similar in that it's like very simple neutrals.
Clean girl aesthetic is very clearly the second rendition of like our business casual middle school days where we were in J. Crew ballet flats and blazers walking to school.
That is true.
Like, we look dirty. This is basically the same thing. These 18-year-olds in like matching like actual like a blazer and pantsuit, and then they put like Nike Dunks on it. It's the same thing.
Yes.
Yep.
So I guess I'm in because historically I have been known to rock in my like younger days, you know, like outfits that look much older.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you?
I know. Yeah. I'm pro blazer. So like, and I also am very boring in how I dress a lot of times. So I actually was this is good for me and attainable. However, I will say there's an element of like snobby rich white girl to this.
100%.
And like, it's kind of like those things where people are like, is it fashion or is she just skinny? Like, it's so unimaginative that like, as a concept, I feel like I can't support it because I'm like, if only people who can afford these things can really like be clean girl aesthetic and like, just wear something fun. Wear a color.
You know what I don't like the most is that these people are so effing productive. Or at least they appear to be.
Yes.
That's part of it too. Like the it girl. The hot girl walk.
That matcha. Then going to hot Pilates. And I'm like, you know what? I'm lucky if on Saturday I'm out of my bed before noon.
Right.
Yeah. So
I would rather not shower before noon.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
I think that's I wear things that I think would qualify for this. Mm-hmm. I have a middle part. But like as a concept, I think I have to be anti-clean girl aesthetic.
Okay. I you know what? I agree with you.
Yeah.
Just have more fun.
Have
Be more
fun.
Imaginative.
Agreed.
Totally.
Amelia, what's your question?
Okay, so yesterday, Variety tweeted out a first look at HBO Max's Velma series that apparently Mindy Kaling she's starring, I think, and directing and writing for this Velma Scooby-Doo series, and it's adult. And so she was there and she was presenting, and they showed this like image of her and a still from this upcoming Velma series with this woman who she's on the ground. Her skull is cracked open. And there's another woman who is wearing no clothes and has like suds on her. And I thought, wow, this is really adult. I don't know how to process this. Yeah, I don't really like this.
It's very jarring.
It's really jarring.
It's like, oh.
I was just like, okay, I wasn't expecting that. And it's all still animated. So I was like,
Yeah.
So I was wondering, are you in or out on these kind of aged up reboots of classic children's shows?
Well, if it was Lizzie McGuire, we would be in. However, it's not.
It's not. It's animated.
And yeah. And I was never like a Big Mouth head. I don't know if anyone was.
Oh,
really
yeah. I like that joke. Yeah,
like,
I
liked it funny. Too. It's funny. But I also think that like the adaptation element is what makes it weird. Because like you're taking
That's
something
fair.
That like was like kind of a comfort thing for some people. Like Scooby-Doo. Like, you know, right. got the nostalgic like childhood thing. And
yes.
then like you're making it like very overtly sexual, at least it looks like, from and like right. violent mm-hmm. and graphic.
Yeah, this is like and Velma fucks.
Oh, they could have left out a kayak.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it'll be good. I don't also just like don't love like the edgy animation stuff. Like something about it, I'm always like, ooh.
Big Mouth, you are right about the adaptation, because that's, I think, why we like that show, is it's
yeah.
coming from absolutely nothing that's
absolutely
in our memory.
Absolutely nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
It's just like weird. And I feel the same way. I know we were talking about that show that's on Paramount Plus that I haven't watched, the Timmy Turner reboot.
Oh, yeah. Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's like, I just, anytime you change an element
right.
of it, that it's
like,
it's a children's show and now you're aging it up. And that for that, it's like, it was animated, but now it's live action. I'm just like, I don't need
yeah.
that.
New
yeah.
ideas.
Yeah.
New
yeah.
things.
Yeah. 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 Agreed. Yeah. Okay, we're ending the pod with my unanswerable question, which is this pod better or worse in person as we all sit here today staring at each other?
I mean, this could have been a terrible podcast, so I guess we'll have to leave it up to our listeners to an extent. I will say it's more fun in person.
Yeah.
True, yeah.
The vibe staring at both of you has been
I know, there's a lot of eye contact
experience.
Happening.
Yeah. Yeah, there is like a giant mic stand in between us. So Liz and I have kind of been like bobbing our heads around and trying to see each other.
That's
but
funny.
It is more fun in person, you guys. I mean, we may have to, when Amelia finally comes back, Amelia's going back for a while, but then you'll be back later.
Mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
maybe we can make this more of a regular thing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I like seeing Kaya so close. Like Kaya disappears into the night on Zoom and she's blacked out and muted. So we like never see
she's
her.
She's also much closer now than she used to be. She used to be across the room, but now she's like in it.
She's in the mix.
She's
crazy.
In the trenches with us. Kaya, how do you feel? Is our pod, you have to listen to this all the time. Is our pod better or worse in person?
Oh, good question.
I do feel like there's a lot more like giggling happening. And then like once one of you starts laughing, like that sets everybody else off and then everybody starts laughing.
So it's worse.
More editing.
No, great. I love it.
Yeah, it's more work for Kaya.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Well, they can let us know on social media. It's better or worse.
Guys, this was so exhilarating. I loved every minute of it.
I feel alive.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Let us know. Better, worse, more chaotic, whatever. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alba.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.